Today is February 9th. My name is Michael Rodriguez, and here to interview Marcia Aldrich for the Michigan Writers Series. Welcome. we'll just have a casual conversation. There's a couple of questions that we always ask people, mm-hmm. and you feel free to answer these questions in any way you feel. And then we can move on to some other stuff. So this is the Michigan Writers Series. So you're not a Michigan native.
No, I was born in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
In Allentown, Pennsylvania.
In Allentown.
Yeah.
Well, Allentown and Lansing aren't that dissimilar, are they?
The Allentown of my youth was probably somewhat similar to Lansing in that Bethlehem Steel and Mack Truck, they were heavy industries. My mother's first husband worked for the Bethlehem Steel Mines. Those industries are now... Mm-hmm. kaput, okay. And all new kinds of businesses have taken over Allentown. But and because of the proximity of Allentown to New York City, I think its economic vitality is stronger than Lansing's.
Mm-hmm. Well, the question eventually is that this is the Michigan Writers Series, and you know, how does Michigan in landscape or culture or something in some way influence your work or not? You leave it completely out.
Well, I guess I have a few answers to that. I went to college in upper state New York in Ithaca for 2 years, and then I transferred to Pomona College in Claremont, California. So I've kind of crisscrossed the state, the country, and then I worked in Philadelphia and New York City, and then Los Angeles before going to graduate school in Seattle at the University of Washington. Right. So of all of the places that I've lived, I probably felt the most affinity to a place in Seattle in the Northwest, and had never even been to Michigan before I was interviewed for the job at Michigan State. And, you know, so I knew most of the East Coast, the West Coast, and not too much in between. And I still feel a little bit as if I'm perching here, even though I've lived here a really long time. a very long time. But it doesn't have the kind of definitive sorts of landscapes, or I suppose it does, but it's so much more flat than Pennsylvania and the mountains and the, you know, the hills of Pennsylvania, and a lot flatter than the Northwest. So
it's the absence of either coast.
It's the
creates Michigan.
Yeah. and I am curious, you know, because there are people who have generations who have lived in Michigan, and Michigan writers who have a tremendous love and tradition with Michigan, and I couldn't say that I'm one of those.
Well, that's it's kind of an interesting question, because you do many things in terms of writing, but you're primarily a memoirist, or at least that's the girl rearing is a memoir. So when you write memoir, you're writing about the past. You didn't. Your past is not Michigan. But it's kind of an interesting question, because, you know, how does the, as a memoirist, how does your current place in the world inform thinking about the past? Maybe that's an impossible question to answer.
Well, I think there are writers, and I think you've had some of them here, who have read, for instance, Bob Root, or Robert Root. He just emailed me today because he's edited a journal, or a book, called Figures of Landscape. I think that's the title of it. And he is someone who, that's what he writes about, is place. As the subject matter, not the backdrop,
right.
Not part of the scene creation, but actually is the subject of the essay. And I'm not one of those people. Mm. I'm just not there. I'm much more drawn to characters. Mm-hmm. I think I'm more like a fiction writer. In the sense of I like voice, I like characters, I like scene, mm-hmm. I like dialogue. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't do description, but I would say I'm not a meditative writer in the way that, say, a Mary Oliver or, you know, some of the place writers are.
Well, certainly there's a lot of description in your writing.
Yep.
But not meditative. That's a strange word. We'll stick with the idea of memoir. Because it's a topical issue, too.
Yeah.
The fourth genre didn't exist as a genre, as we know it anyway, until when was this? It really came into being a classification sort of as a genre only. Ten years ago?
Well, I mean, it always existed.
Yeah.
I mean, people were always writing essays.
Right.
Or you could say nonfiction is the largest genre there is because so much falls into it. Mm-hmm. It's such a, you know, a grab bag of whatever is in poetry, whatever is in drama, and whatever isn't fiction falls into that. But in terms of its coinage... Yeah, I think it's relatively new. The journal itself, fourth genre, I believe has had its 10th anniversary. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, they used to call it literary nonfiction,
mm-hmm.
or they called it the familiar essay or personal essay or memoir. And now the fourth genre sort of collects all of those under it.
Right.
Including nature writing, travel writing, cultural criticism.
It's interesting because of the way, or we'll take your position at Michigan State University, for example. Maybe this is interesting, maybe it's not. Girl rearing classifies by Library of Congress in the HQs, which is child development, I think.
Yeah, terrible. And people have told me that they have found it in the child rearing.
Right. That's section. The way it classifies with its HQ.
Well, who would read that book?
Yeah.
You know, if they're looking for parental advice, girl rearing is not the place to go. Right. It will send you amiss. bad classification. Mm-hmm. And you find, this is, you know, something I talk about with students quite a bit, because the memoir label is evolving, and it's evolving out of a very strict and traditional view of the memoir that was, you know, almost primarily for historical figures looking back on their lives. People. Primarily men, but not entirely men, mm-hmm. who had a public record, a public life of note. We still have that subgenre of memoir, but now memoir does a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. A lot of other writers mm-hmm. are turning to it, and it's sort of fragmenting. But we still talk about memoir as if it's a kind of unified and identifiable genre, and it really isn't anymore. Any more than novels are a unified. We have romance novels, science fiction, you know, all those sorts of things. So I don't think readers and agents and booksellers and, you know, all of the various people in the book business have quite caught up in knowing what to do, how to read, how to sell, how to classify some of the things that are being written under the fourth genre.
Right, which was perfectly evidenced last year when the James Frey thing happened and blew up in a very public way on Oprah, and which led to all these discussions about what's the difference between memoir and fiction, and should there be a difference? your position at the university is you teach in the English department,
mm-hmm.
memoir,
mm-hmm.
or I don't...
Actually, what I teach is creative nonfiction.
Right, right.
So we will do usually a segment on memoir, mm-hmm. but we'll also do personal essay,
right.
self-portraiture, you know, all varieties, nature writing.
And what is generally taught, at least across the country, in many freshman-level classes for... just expository writing, how to write, you know, mm-hmm. general either rhetoric or composition classes are the same kinds of things. Personal essays, we don't call it memoir necessarily.
Although it's changed since my days in graduate school when freshman English tended to be the argumentative,
right,
exactly. persuasive paper, beginnings of learning how to do research. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's that, too. Where a lot of places start is the personal essay, getting mm-hmm. thoughts right, getting even personal experience mm-hmm. committed to the mm-hmm. word correctly, whatever that means. And then you move on to other people's ideas
mm-hmm.
and research mm-hmm. and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting. I was just going to ask as well about you're a PhD.
Yes.
From University of Washington. And you publish creatively.
Yes.
Mostly. You also publish critical articles.
I haven't done anything scholarly for quite a while.
Well, which sort of begs the question, can you do both? Is it possible to be the creative and the critical, or is it actually necessary to do both or to be both? Maybe somewhere in between.
Well, I feel like I've been crossing that divide my whole life, from high school, where teachers would tell me I had creative potential and I should follow that. And then other teachers would say, no, I really have a very critical mind, I should do that. Mm. And it lasted all the way through graduate school, where I started at the University of Washington as a poet in their writing program, and was pretty, I guess I would say, recruited after my first semester into the PhD program. And because I liked both, and I did both, and I did them pretty well.
Why did you switch?
I didn't.
You were recruited. You were recruited, but you had a choice as well.
Yeah. No. I finished my MFA, and mm-hmm. then I went on for the PhD mm-hmm. because I liked it, and because it worried me at the time to put all my eggs in one basket as a writer. I didn't want to put that much pressure on myself. In fact, it's worked out pretty well, where I've kind of come to teaching writing at a time when I was ready to start mm. teaching writing and when I felt competent to do mm. so. So I think it worked out pretty well for me. You can do both.
I can see that a kind of freedom. If you do it a traditional expository dissertation and then you publish as a creative writer. Well, maybe that just opens things up.
Well, they were always related, everything I did. Yeah. I mean, the scholarly work on modern poetry.
Louise Bogan was your dissertation.
Yeah, yeah. And, I had a scholarly interest, and I had a very personal interest in her, mm. In her writing and in her life. And I still almost, Marilynne Robinson is another writer who I've written scholarly work on. She's another writer who's very important to me as a writer. Mm. So I think the division is, for me, has been not a division particularly. It's been a conversation. It's been constitutive of who I am as a writer and as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is time. I think And being good enough in both fields, it just takes a lot of time to write, period. Whether it's scholarly work or it's my own creative work, it's time consuming when you're teaching and raising a family and all of those things.
Right. And you have to do both all the time to do. You have to do either.
You have to keep your hand in.
To be good at it.
I think I just sort of fell by the wayside on the scholarly part. Not particularly out of lack of interest, but just out of lack of being able to do it. Especially teaching graduate courses in modern poetry, keeping abreast of everything in the field, doing my own work. It was... Mm. And trying to write... It was too much. Though I'm going to come back, I feel certain that before I'm done, I will end up writing more on Louise Bogen for sure.
Good. What are you doing now?
Well, I've been working on two major projects or two major sort of strands. One has been a long project on called The Substitute Teacher. And it's a series of connected pieces about the suicide of a friend of mine. So it is not a memoir, or at least it's not a memoir about me particularly. So it's not a memoir. The subtitle is called Notes of a Suicide. And I have not had a great deal of success, although I haven't tried very hard, to have it published as a book. I've been hesitant about it. I've rewritten it about three times. So I have a manuscript, and parts of it have been published as essays. Quite a few of them. And one came out last fall in the Tampa Review, that's one of my favorite pieces that I've ever written, called Spoon Altar, and one was called, a section is called The Bed of Metamorphosis, which was a notable essay last year. And one is coming out this spring called Death's Acres. So I'm not sure if it will ever have a life as a book, even though I wrote it as a book. My friend was an absolute no one. I mean, he was not a famous person. He wasn't like Calvin Trillin's book, Remembering Denny, who was a famous, sort of golden boy from Yale. He was a substitute teacher. And part of the book is about sort of the invisibility of his life. And while I find it compelling, and certain parts of it seem compelling, I'm not sure it has enough flash to be interesting. I haven't sent it to any university or smaller presses. I've shown it to my agent, who said, who is this guy, you know, and who cares? It didn't get the reading that I had hoped, and I would have a heck of a hard time trying to sell this, was sort of my response, her response to the project. So I haven't given up on it, but I've sort of been harvesting some of the parts.
Yeah. And what is the other part?
The other book project? Is more likely to come to fruition as a book. That's called The Mother Bed. And it's a series of essays. Some of them are memoir-like, but it is not a memoir. It's not a it's not a continuation of a memoir, even though some of the pieces certainly do have memoir-like parts of them. But they're more personal essays of a variety of lengths and styles. Around the subject or growing out of the subject of mothers and daughters and various female kinds of things.
I've read the Metamorphosis, and I thought it was part of the other thing.
Yeah.
Not the...
Well, I seem to have a thing going on about beds. So yeah. I've written The Bed of Metamorphosis, mm-hmm. which was about the bed that Joel had given my husband.
Right.
And that we slept on mm-hmm. for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. We slept on it past his death.
Mm-hmm.
And then... decided
we okay, so they
couldn't sleep yeah. on it anymore. Yeah. The mother bed is a different essay. Yeah.
Okay.
But I seem to be that odd person who has bed stories.
Well, we spend a lot of time with these objects, don't we?
Well, and people inherit beds.
Yeah.
And they inherit the lives mm-hmm. that go with the beds.
Yeah. Or, for better or worse.
Or I have. Yeah. So I have in both instances, in my mother's case and in Joel's case. Yeah. So those are sort of the two major projects I've been working on.
Excellent. I should get you to the reading.
Wow, okay.
So, all right. Thank you.
Thank you.